Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up! It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Man, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, as always, here. Live and living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. So, really interesting story, ladies and gentlemen. This goes to show how much I want to be with you all, how much this is serious for me. I just got out of the emergency room a couple of hours ago. My back has been hurting me like crazy, and I had to go to the emergency room and get it treated. Before I go to my doctor, get checked out. So, that goes to show how important it is for me to be a part, here at the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, and be sure to, give you guys, the amazingness, that you deserve, as awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful fans. So, as the PNP Nation continues to load up, I hope you guys are doing well today. I had a bad headache because my back was hurting so bad, and so I treated that. My back is better. My head is better. Still some loopiness from the medicine that they gave me, but I'm here. I'm ready to rock and ready to roll and have some fun with you all. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to jump into the part two interview with Mike McGurk, and going to have some fun with that. She has a really interesting Shane McMahon story that she's going to tell you. What's going on, Bobby? Glad to have you, PNP Nation. Welcome, Bobby, to the chat. I had two big back surgeries, one in 2013 and one in 2018. 2013 was a micro. What's up, Allie? Good to have you. 2013 was a micro discectomy, and 2018 was a spinal fusion. So I've had back problems for almost 25 years. Scoliosis, all stemming from in high school and all kinds of craziness. So car accidents, none of them were my fault, but I was part of people just driving recklessly. And so my back has been going through some journeys over the past 25 years, and it's been a pretty tough journey, but a lot of people know that I'm a strong man of faith, and I know that this journey, if I can help someone else and encourage them to keep going and don't lose faith and don't lose hope, that's that, and I'm all for it. You fell on ice 25 years ago, and you have a compressed spine. Oh my goodness, man! I'm sorry to hear that. That bites. So you understand. You understand the struggle that comes with back problems. And so I'm going to play this interview part two from Mike McGurk. She had a really interesting Shane McMahon story, an exclusive. She actually dropped the name of someone who used to whip around Shane McMahon. Allie, permanent damage in your knee, almost 15 years from my ear pain. Man, I'll be praying for Bobby and Allie and back problems too. So, yeah, I've been praying for y'all. We're going to have some fun tonight. Like I said, Mike McGurk has some really interesting, you know, me as a journalist, I got to pull something out that someone hasn't heard before. So pull an interesting Shane McMahon story out of her, which she actually dropped the name of who used to whip him around, and some stories that that she shared with Shane and how Vince McMahon and really interesting stuff, basically how they would hide stuff from Vince, and really, really fun stuff that she shared. So enjoy the interview, and I'll be back on the other side. See you soon.
Down and you miss it, you're gone. And I grew up that way too, but I grew up with a pencil. I don't remember always looking at, I still don't like pencils today, but it was on the booking sheet, and that's how they used to write it out, and you were in pencil. And at any given time, it could change. And I learned about change that, you know, it was even printed on every one of my dad's programs, and all events are subject to change, you know, so there was not anybody that was going to come back and say, hey, we were supposed to see this match and blah, blah, blah. They, God, who knows, I guess they would do that now. Everybody complains about something, and they've forgot about just, hey, complain it to my face. But, you know, when you go behind my back and you say these kind of things, and you get really brave on a computer, It bothers me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, bothers me.
They don't know.
Right. And they didn't talk in my shoes or.
Right.
And how I, you know, there have been just some things that, you know, you just think, my record will show. And people, kind people like you, reach out and think that I might have something interesting to say to you and your listeners, and I hope I do. I hope I have.
Of course. Absolutely. Definitely.
I was just glad when Liz came along, and Elizabeth was just, for so long, it was the three of us. You know, mm-hmm. There was Sherry and Elizabeth and myself, and we were, you know, and she had Randy, you know, so she was good to go. Sherry had Sherry. Me, I'm just, you know, better have my bluff in, and that was pretty much. So yeah, they weren't sure. I never let anybody know that I didn't know how to or wouldn't put them in a hold. So because, like I said, I'm sure Leroy taught you stuff, because you know my dad, Greg Gagne's dad, Vern, is the one that won the belt, the junior heavyweight belt that my dad had held, before he had his accident where he lost his eye. So there was always that Minneapolis connection too, that I shared with Kurt and Kurt Henning, and even my beloved animal Joe. I love Joe, and you know, that Minneapolis connection was pretty. You know, Vern didn't mince around. He was good, and my dad had respect for him, and you know, they had something going that would have been pretty good, and it was good for a while, where Minneapolis, Kansas City, the Oklahoma, Louisiana territory, and Fritz all were getting together, and they had the idea of where they would be circulating, you know, the talent and keeping it, you know, in the Midwest or combining it. But, you know, Chris, sometimes greed gets into it, and
yeah,
it,
because it was such a
great thing up. And,
yeah, it was such a good superpower style, you know, kind of connection that could have happened. I mean, you, of course, Vince was just the king of the Northeast.
Right.
But you had, you know, you had Fritz with the Texas territory. You had Watts with the Mid-South, with the Oklahoma and Louisiana, you know, had the big shows in New Orleans, you know, when JYD was there, you know, and Ted DiBiase. And Butch Reed and Jim Duggan, you know, so it you had, and of course Vern and, you know, the Central Territory, the Minnesotas and Missouris and Central States and, you know, things like that with Harley Race. And so there was a lot of especially within the 80s, there was such a huge type of blanket territory that could have been. I mean, and we saw it a lot. I mean, we saw, you know, when the NWA owned a lot. I mean, when a lot of those promotions were under the NWA umbrella, you know, you saw a lot of talents being switched over. But, you know, Watts broke away, you know, and did the UWF thing, you know, and then, you know, Vern was.
I mean, my dad, it was done for us. Yeah, you know, we could go so far, and it was changing. And
in
1982, and I know I'm taking some people back because, oh my gosh, Satellite, and, you know, we're reminded of what WTBS became, and a little Channel 17 in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was, you know, we in 1980 we had Satellite, and even in Oklahoma. We didn't have the U station, and you couldn't get the people to change over to a UHF. You know, it was, we had our main ABC, CBS, NBC. That was it. And then, oh my gosh, we're going to have a Channel 23, which was the first one, UHF. Well, what happened? We lost the contract to NBC, and we'd had it for years. Watts came in. He took over. He got the contract. The only thing that we were left is with the UHF. And in 19, it was easier to get cable than it was to put a darn antenna, a UHF antenna on your TV to get that. They didn't want to see it. They were wanting to see what was going on in Atlanta. And then Monday evening, Madison Square Garden was coming in. And, you know, those were towns we were running. My dad ran for several years. He and Bill ran two towns a night, 7 days a week. And, of course, you had, you know, if anybody can always get this correct, Bill and I still can, and sometimes Jim, but all of Oklahoma, all of Arkansas, the southwest part of Missouri, the northeast part of Texas, all of Louisiana, and all of Mississippi.
Wow.
And that was running on what people don't understand is, like, and some do out there, bicycling. So, like, you know, the southern end, Louisiana, Mississippi, all that would see one set of tapes. We'd have another set of tapes up north and recirculating the talent. And then it became that you needed to keep talent down south, and then some wanted to. But the north, we didn't have enough in Arkansas and Oklahoma to hold what was happening in Louisiana and Mississippi. But the thing that, you know, was always iffy about Louisiana is because it, and it still is, it was politics. It was just politics all the way down. I mean, sometimes even the northern Louisiana you could run, but you couldn't run in southern Louisiana because the good old boys down there. It was exactly why they call it parishes. And I love Louisiana. My dad did too. But it was that was the toughest place to promote in, really, without them, you know, and that's true. They felt that they needed to have their fair share of it, too. You had to buy a promoter's license, and even my dad and Bill would go into the Senate and many, many times in Louisiana to get the rules changed for having some sports promotion and making it open. It was not very open to anything unless it was something down there. They weren't into national tough man. That was another break. But you know, the sport, they had not even had a sports commission yet. So yeah, that, you know, I grew up with that. I was there when the Superdome, our first Superdome in 1976, I did a promo shop with Bill and my dad and one of the TV guys there that was promoting us. And it's a really cool shot, but it's, you know, it was fascinating because we're standing in the middle of it and looking around because it was huge. It was like, it was. Well, it's the Superdome back then.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
I know that they had so much success, and that was another thing about, you know, risk. And it worked, and it was a super show, and that was the beginning of what I see now is like what, you know, your Vince had your SummerSlams or your quarterly big shows.
Mm-hmm.
It was the beginning of that, but, you know, we weren't filming it, which is a shame on those early days. I don't know if we even had the capacity to, you know, to get a camera crew out there that could handle it, because the technology just wasn't there. You know,
right.
It would just,
right.
Sadly, yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, the advancements really has given wrestling over the past, I'd say, 30 years, 30 to 35 years, the advancements has really been one of the biggest, you know, perks of the growth and the booming of wrestling. You know, pre 1985, I mean, like, it was, you know, closed circuit and you really don't have much exposure, you know, with that. And that, like, you know, you had, like you said, TBS with Georgia Championship Wrestling, that TBS in the 80s, early 80s.
Huge. I mean, while we were still in business, it's like, God, we want Tommy Rich.
Yeah.
We knew where they'd been watching, you know.
Yeah.
And it became that even though we had good talent, we had great talent, Tennessee, I mean, but it was something new and,
yeah.
You know, it wildfire. And they were incorporating what, you know, came to pass, which I knew when it first started that it was like 1980, 82, when the music was coming. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We didn't have music to these guys, and
mm-hmm.
You younger people don't get it. And when it was happening, it was like, yeah, because it's like I refer to DiBiase so much because I grew up around him, and he's a dear, dear, dear friend, always will be. Brian, all of them, but Ted was one that, you know, here his dad had worked for my dad, was a former junior heavyweight champion, which my dad had that belt that was his to hold, and that's how NWA that was going to retire with my father
mm-hmm.
to have the control over it. But so we talk about it. It was like, yeah, whatever you think about this music. But here was Ted, and he was part of the new generation coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great. It was great. You didn't see never to take away the old guys, but there were some of those out there that, you know, it was pretty staunchy,
mm-hmm.
rough looking, you know, characters. Anyway, and good people, all right, but they didn't have the bodies and they weren't, the music wasn't, you know, that was even hard for my dad. He was like, well, what are they doing? And they, of course, being blind too, but I remember him at one of the WWF shows that I'd take him with me to, and I loved it because he got to be with the boys, but he was not used to the sound of, you know, those metal risers and people are, you know, stomp their feet and it's just really, really deafening. Sometimes it's loud and they're, you know, excited. Well, my dad was like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? And I said, Dad, it's the crowd, you know, and he goes, it's the fans. And he said, you're kidding me. But he, to see the little chuckle in his smile that, you know, that wrestling was, that there was such excitement, that
yeah.
there was such a big crowd. And you can imagine a blind person thinking, you know, God, it sounds like a, you know, horde of, you know, we're going to be trampled because that noise was so loud, but he didn't understand how or what it was coming from. And I was like, Dad, they love this new style, and somebody would try to explain to him. And he said, well, they're still doing holes. They still, you know, his love was amateur, all the way. That's what his love. That's why he had picked out and with Jack Briscoe, because he was a Oklahoma State wrestler, and my dad loved it. And of course, Jack turned out to be the best.
Jack was
so underrated. Oh my God,
yeah, definitely. One of the best in the NWA history, for sure. Yeah,
you bet. I hate to throw names around, but that was another person that, you know, I grew up with when I was younger, and I can remember my mom taking me and his wife then, Karen, and we were looking for places for Jack and the kids to live. So, because he was, you know, signing up with the territory and going on the road, and that was normal for the families to either live a lot in Tulsa, and then if you were down south, you were probably in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Not much Shreveport, but Baton Rouge was kind of central. So, yeah, and then years later, and he was just as gorgeous and sweet and talented as Jack Briscoe could ever be, and we always shared and still do with Jerry is, you know, we're Oklahoma. And then when I tell him, I said, every time I go through their hometown, which is Blackwell, Oklahoma, I said, you know, all I have to do is throw out the Briscoe name, and that gets me out of it. So, I'll send you an autographed picture.
Right. So my last question to you before we go, and I thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. I want to, before we get into that, thank you so much, Chris. This sweet heart of a man here that you listeners are listening to has been so patient with me. I've had a great, thankful, busy spring and summer, and we're drying out here in Oklahoma finally with the floods, and I've been busy and doing well, and like I said, I'm looking forward to go to another wrestling show, and we'll be back in, I think it was WrestleCade that I just plugged for in November, and but stay tuned, look at my website, Twitter, I'm out there, and call Chris. I get a hold of Chris. Tell him what you thought. Hopefully that you liked this interview, and we'll see you down the road again.
Yeah.
And I thank you, fans, for following me and acknowledging and bringing me this far.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious to know your take on your departure for WWE. There's so many, and we talked about this off air. There's so many rumors and stuff that's on the online. I am interviewing the Mike McGurk. What is the true story of why Mike McGurk left the WWE in 1994?
Oh gosh, I know the fiction is so much more.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So much more exciting.
And the truth of it is, everything was happening at the time. The steroid the crisis was happening. There was attorneys, coming down on Vince. Everything was being pulled in. I was given the option to come to Connecticut and be a part of the television studio and still be on the television team. And again, Oklahoma to Connecticut. I had other people in my life, my mom, and I had two young children at the time that were very well rooted in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My mom had come up there with me several times. Vince flew her up. Yes, he did. He was wonderful to me and my family, but he'd fly my mom up and my little girl, and we'd take a look around for rent houses. We never found anything. It was so expensive. My God, anyway, y'all, it was expensive. But anyway, Vince allowed me to stay here, but now it was different. So this time it was like, you got to move here, or we're moving in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't bring everybody in. So, that was part of it, that we agreed to move on. The contract changed. That was another thing that I lost the personalization with Vince. and I felt that other people had gotten into the contract, and I was not going to sell my name. That was my given name. It's not meant for Michelle or anything else. And given the brief history I've given your fans tonight on my background, I was meant to be a boy, and it's really Michael. My dad's middle name was Michael. He was Leroy Michael McGurk, and I became M. Michael Kathleen. So anyway, it was always Mike McGurk. And so some contractual things happened, and it was best that I shook hands and left in 94 with my name and my likeness. So, and there was never anything, like I said, the fiction is so much more exciting, darn it, because I never got, Vince didn't make any move on me. I don't know where that came out of. I had a chance to do something with a magazine that wanted me to take my clothes off. That didn't happen, and that was going to something, if it did, everything that I was going to do was going to have my, I was going to have to split. So everything changed, and I said, you know, I'm out of it. I'm not going to take my clothes off anyway. Nobody, that's not the way to end this. Thank God I didn't. Again, you know, it splattered all over. But I had kids, and it was the way how my dad raised me. And I just went through 10 years with WWF, and I kept my clothes on. What was I, you know, no way. Exactly. And I just felt that was a sellout. So we just parted ways, and I just still, the kids, I love that boy. There's nobody better than Shane O'Mac. I used to take care of Shane when he'd be on the road, and Vince knew that. He'd say, you know, bring him back in one piece, would you? And just bring him back. But, you know, he'd go out with us and the guys, and I'd make sure that he'd come in and drop him, roll him out of the car.
Oh, well, you got to give us
the direction to the room.
You got to give us a quick road story with about Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon's one of the biggest heels in WWE right now. We have to hear, before I let you go, we got to hear a Shane McMahon road story.
Do you want me to tell it to you about what I've just done, about how I would, well, Vince McMahon trusted us to take care of his son. We never got a hold of Stephanie. It's probably a reason for that. But several times we would take Shane, and sometimes it would be Sherry, but usually, God help us. Because, yeah, Sherry, I can tell you a Sherry and Shane story. But we did take him out, and we would get him with the guys, and it constantly, maybe one or two times, he might be thrown around a few times, and probably had his hands held back while we poured beer down him. There was a couple of times past, so we watched out for Shane, but I always was told by his father to please bring him back in one piece and at least to the right room. Mm-hmm. There was a time that he missed and was in the wrong room. It was somebody that had no idea who he was or anything, but he was going to get into that room, and anyway, security was called. But little things like that. But he was he was thrown around by the wrestlers a lot. But I always had to. I was babysitting him, but we always took good care of him. He saw things probably that was best not to go home and tell Dad that we showed him.
Any wrestler in particular that would rough him up?
I'm sorry?
Any wrestler in particular that would rough him up?
I can't. I wouldn't. There was probably two or three of them, and I can tell you one of them was Boss Man. Boss Man was lots of fun. he gave him the listen, boy, and the stick. So I think. Shane O'Mac. If you see him with ever a stick, always think of Boss Man. Will witness Boss Man getting on one of the Lincoln Continentals and just jumping on it from the ground to the hood and then on top of the roof. Shane's
probably got a phobia for nightsticks now.
Just because. Oh, yeah, but and this too, you know, Shane, like, you're not going to go back and say anything. You know,
right,
so,
right.
You know, if anything was said, what was going to happen to him?
Yeah,
so he knew.
Yeah. And he was only, about 20, between 20 and 25 at that point. So, I think he was born in 1970.
Probably 1920, because I know we had him. Listen to us on his first fall break back and one of the TVs, and so we told him not to go away and stay at school so long, because it's so much fun to have him out and stuff him up. But he to me was like his mom. I love his mom. She's what a great lady. And if there's anybody there's a backbone, sorry, Vince, it's your wife. I tell you, she's
Linda gets the credit.
Oh, she is. I salute, my hat's off to her, because at what she would put up with, and at any given time, it'd be great that she would fly in, you know, and always make sure I will put this out. I'm going to add just one thing else about, like, how things have changed, but she would come in to make sure that everybody was being treated fairly and nice, and the sexual harassment stuff was starting, and she was the cool. She made sure. She was like, "Do you feel threatened? Do you feel?" And I go, "Look, Linda, if I didn't have sexual harassment, I would never get a compliment here with these guys." and to me, I said, my sexual harassment is a compliment. If they give you a compliment like, "Hey, McGurk," and it's not manly, man, to hand that kind of information out. But occasionally, when you got that, and I was like, "Are you kidding?" You know, if there even was, it was never. I wouldn't be there. You know, that's just the way it was. So anyway, the whole family. But yes, that was a good Shane story, and also too with Sherry. So, or times that we would have to walk him physically to the door, and you know, and knock on it for him, and then just run, just run, just leave. Anyway,
keep your identity inconspicuous. So.
Oh yeah.
that's really interesting. Yeah, because Shane, I think, was born in 1970. So this was going on, what, late 80s, early 90s.
Oh right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
fun. Much so. Great age and just enough. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Well, it has been a pleasure, Mike. I really, really appreciate you being on the show tonight. Lots of fun. Really, really cool Shane story. I really enjoyed it, too. And thank you for allowing people to really come into your world, just your career as a wrestling figure, a pro wrestling figure over the past 30-plus years. And you're still killing it in the real estate business, right?
Yes. Real estate, and hey, I still am around my wrestling people whenever I can, and like I said, I make it a point now to, like, if I don't have a table or if I'm just going there, I'm not doing the autographs, but I'm seeing my friends, because that's a luxury in itself.
Yep.
But I would like to do that. I'd like to do more of that, to get back out, because there is interest. So if there's interest, call Chris, right?
Yeah. Let me know. I'm your unofficial agent.
That's it. All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Chris, very, very much.
My pleasure, Mike.
Again, thank you all.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, thank you guys for enjoying the Mike McGurk interview, part two. Interesting Shane McMahon story, as I said. As you can see, awesome upgrades on the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I hope you like it. And for those who didn't hear, I'm feeling loopy because I just left the emergency room about a couple hours ago, about 2.5 hours ago, and I had some really bad headaches and dizziness because my back was hurting so bad. So they put me on some pretty extreme meds to get my back feeling better, my head feeling better. So I feel better, but very loopy, very, very loopy on meds right now. So just to tame down that back pain. So, yeah, it's been pretty tough, man, to be honest with you. So hopefully, you guys keep me in prayer. And so my back, that it'll get better and feel better. And let's have some fun tonight to get my mind off of this loopiness that I have right now. I was in a hospital bed for 5 hours and about 4.5. And not okay. Do I intermittent fast? If so, first of all, asking random ask Chris questions like that, GHP is definitely going to make me feel better. GHP is asking, do I intermittent fast? If so, that could play a role in your dizziness. No, I don't intermittent fast. That's not a part of my training regimen. I eat breakfast. My eating schedule is off. I eat 3 times a day typically, sometimes 2, but yeah, I actually need to eat more. But I just train hard. But my dizziness is stemming from my back. The pain in my back is causing my head to hurt and my dizziness. So when I went to the hospital and they gave me medicine, it helped my back pain and it helped my headache and dizziness. I was working out right before I went to the emergency room, and interesting times. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in the co-host with the most, Evan Tech Proud. How you doing tonight, sir?
Doing okay, man. I'm glad that you are, that, you know, got a little worried about you. Had to say a little prayer for you when you talk. But glad that you're back here, live on the mothership, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Good to be here with you, co-hosting. Literally just got off air. Did about 4 hours of my show and jumped on to do yours. Met the group. Great interview you did. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And the PNP Nation. Random X Quick. Ask Chris. That's X Tech. Random stuff. Good to be here.
Yeah.
You know.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, GHP. Michael's asking, ask Chris, what's your hardest daily obstacle to overcome? Good question. Certainly my back problems. I'm a very optimistic and strong encourager. But yeah, my back problems are a struggle for me. So yeah. That is my biggest obstacle from a daily basis. Kimbo's asking, ask Chris, if you could interview 3 individuals outside of the wrestling world, who would they be? Great question. I'm gonna assume that you mean living. Thanks, Mo. Appreciate it. I'm gonna assume that you mean living. It would be. Ravi Zacharias, that would be number one, or not really a top three, but that would be one of the absolutely GSP. Ravi Zacharias. Number 2 would be, or again, not in a specific order, but Ravi Zacharias, probably Aaron Cole and Galvi. Those are my two favorite artists. Those are both Christian, like Christian rap artists. So, Toby Mac too. I would like to interview Toby Mac. So I would say, so my three would be Ravi Zacharias, Toby Mac, and Galvi. Yeah, those would be my three. Good question. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's jump into these headlines. Here we go. All right, let's start with Becky Lynch. So Becky Lynch, man, she basically said on an interview with TalkSport, she said that the Evolution 2 would be ran just fine without Ronda Rousey. Sure. So she actually said, absolutely. I don't see. Thanks, Kimbo. Appreciate it. The update for you guys. You know why I updated this, the show graphics, right? I do it for you. She said, quote, oh, absolutely. First and foremost, it was one of the best pay-per-views of the year. This is regarding Evolution. And that's not me being biased. That's a fact. And had match of the year on it, including yours truly. And regarding, as she said, absolutely, I don't see any reason why not. As far as another one coming back, she said, I think we have a strong enough women's division without Rousey, as long as they tell the stories around us and let us go. And that's all I'll say. So, here's my take on it. I think that, I don't agree with that, actually. I think it's very clear that Ronda Rousey is what made the women's division get to the main event spot. You know, like it or not, you know, I mean, criticize if you will, but at the end of the day, it was. At the end of the day, Ronda Rousey is what put the WWE Women's Division to the next level. And I think once you get to the point of bringing back Ronda Rousey, which I think is certainly a better, the best idea, you get to a point where you get it back to the main event level, because we've seen when Rousey's been gone the past 4 months that it's declined drastically, man. Like, I mean, the Becky Lynch, yeah, I would give her much credit, you know, to having that big movement as far as when it started last year, SummerSlam, when she turned on Charlotte. But at the same time, you know, if it wasn't for the star power of Ronda Rousey, I certainly don't think that they would have been main eventing for sure. And it shows that even when Rousey was there, there was a bigger celebrity feel for the women's division. And WWE, I mean, not saying that they don't have the talent for it. I mean, here's the proof. They're bringing back Trish Stratus to compete against Charlotte Flair because they need that star power, because Vince McMahon is that type of person that is clear that WWE doesn't see. I mean, you saw in the interview with Steve Austin, he's talking about people grabbing the brass ring and why Brock Lesnar was chosen to beat the Undertaker's streak, because no one has grabbed the brass ring. He doesn't have enough confidence in his current roster. And that's sad. I mean, that was, right, what, 5 years ago? And still, you know, 5 years later, he still doesn't have enough confidence in his roster. I mean, yeah, he's pushing people like Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the next John Cena when it comes to transcending the business. We see that with him already being part of movies with Top Jaw. But at the same time, you know, I believe Ryback said that Triple H told him that he doesn't, that WWE doesn't want anybody to transcend the business anymore. John Cena was the last person that they want to transcend the business. And that's a terrible way. That's just a terrible concept because you don't have that larger than life feel anymore. And it's very clear with the storylines, you don't have that larger than life feel anymore. There's some good stuff. You know, there's some lightning in the bottom moments like the Becky Lynch, especially the Kofi Kingston. Right now, we're seeing that a little bit with Kevin Owens. But for the major part, for the majority, you don't have that big fight feel anymore. And I think the problem is that once there's people like Ronda Rousey gone from the company, it goes to show how much they're struggling.
Let's be real. WWE doesn't have enough new star power, period. Just said it on my show. Since 2002, WWE's only produced four stars. You said it. Batista, Brock, Randy Orton, John Cena. That's it. As far as household names, that I didn't need nobody. You ain't got to be a wrestling fan. You know them. When it comes to the women, it's not a lot of marketable women out there. And we're not sexist because we're friends with a lot of them. But it's true. We were at WrestleMania. And you can attest to this. I just said it. Was not a lot of people falling asleep and slumped. By the time the main event hit, people were asleep. It was tired. It was cold. I know you was in pain. My butt was hurting. But at the end of the day, it's like, They tried, the Lance Evolution, to download DLC content, all these older stars. Look at the Women's Rumble. They tried to throw all these older women stars the best they could to make this Rumble relevant or to make any women, the women's full pickers be relevant. It's not being sexist, but it's the truth. I mean, come on. Is Michelle McCool really a legend? No. What is she really? I mean, she's there, but do we consider her a legend? No. I mean, she's undefeated as Bullberry. We get it. But what has she really done in the business to the point that we think she's a legend? Ronda Rousey was the biggest star in the business besides Brock when she was there. That's the M.O. She's trying to have a big movie back in the year. That's impossible. Now your Jax is gone. That's a big blow. Tamina just keeps getting shoved up and shoved down. Sasha Banks is a big going cheap. Sasha not being there is a big, huge, huge go. So who do you care about? Charlotte keeps getting worked down on her body. That's lost her luster. Oscar, she's up and down. What happened to her? So, and Becky, she's just the cute Irish girl. She's not even the man anymore. She lost her edge. So, and Trish, I love Trish. You know, that's like my top two, three divas of all time. Women wrestlers. She did not look right tonight. She didn't deal with the game. It's like, and I love the women. I'm all for it. TNA did great. Impact, whatever you want to call it, Cross the Line, Anthem. They had Kong and Gail Kim and all the other ones, Jessica Havoc and the other ones. But who do you have? No one that right now is. Someone said in the chat, the 24/7 title gets more segment and more air time than the women's title. It's sad. So I disagree with Becky Lynch. Without Ronda, even if Ronda was there, okay, she's there. She has one match. What about the undercard?
Yep. Bring exactly.
Jazz, Ivory, Victoria, you know what I mean? All the legends and guests we have, Andre Blaze, you know, Akira Hokuto, Bull Nakano, they all retired, and one of them playing golf. Bertha Faye is going on with the Moolah. You know what I mean? So, taking the cherry. So, Moolah and Mae Young, they were singing for the things during the Attitude Era before that. So, you know, I wanted to go well, but nah.
Yeah. I agree.
It would be better than Starcade 94 in December to December. I give that
those were pretty rough. Trivia question. This Nature Boy debuted in WWE at in 1995 in your house versus Ahmed Johnson. We never got to this. This is like the third week of Access Question, and we never get to it. So... Next, we got Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, he completely writes SmackDown. He called an emergency meeting and completely rewrote SmackDown. So allegedly, this is the second week of Eric Bischoff's writing. Not writing, but just the executive director of SmackDown. And he called an emergency meeting. It was supposed to be the New Day versus I think Ziggler and Drew. It was supposed to be Drew and somebody against the New Day. They end up accompanying Kofi Kingston instead. He rips the script and rewrites the show. This is originally reported by Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet. It's supposed to be Drew McIntyre and Elias. That was supposed to be the first thing. Drew lost clean to Kevin Owens. That was really weird. I agree, GSP. Drew's heat is falling tremendously. Losing at least could have been DQ. That was just odd, man. It was really, really, really weird. So there's
he's
other
becoming Shane's wacky.
They would be going against the Democratic presidential debate. So they're concerned about that when it comes to the viewership. So very interesting stuff. I don't know. That's not very good for Eric Bischoff. That's for sure. As far as his influence on SmackDown. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, all the people I spoke to I spoke to former writers before, and they've said that. They've said, and I spoke to former wrestlers. I mean, check out my archived interview with Brad Maddox. He talks about this. He talks about how Vince McMahon were just last minute stuff and just 11th hour, just change stuff. And yeah, go Google Pancakes and Power Slams Brad Maddox and check out my interview with Brad Maddox. He revealed some interesting stuff about the backstage chaos when it comes to the booking. Bret Hart has said that a bunch of times before too, as far as just even when he comes in as a guest, like he would have to memorize something like a few hours beforehand, and then he'll have it memorized, and then they'll give him something else, just 11th hour. So it's pretty chaotic, man. Very, very chaotic. So like I said, apparently this is the second week of there's rumors that this is the second week of Eric Bischoff's influence on SmackDown. I don't think he has a full influence. There's reports that Paul Heyman had the biggest influence on Raw this past Monday. But, as far as Eric Bischoff, there's still some rumors that he's having some more influence. But obviously, this man calling an emergency meeting to rip up and rewrite the SmackDown script, that has to be a bit frustrating to the talent, especially Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. For what I gather, under good authority, Eric Bischoff isn't doing anything creative on SmackDown just yet. So that's what I'm getting from those inside WWE. He's not doing anything creative yet. He's there. He's backstage. He's not doing anything creative yet for SmackDown. That's what I was told today, yesterday. Vince doing the emergency meeting. He needs to do more emergency meetings. But you got to think, with the way SmackDown is going tonight, did it really help? I mean, you got McIntyre is jobbing out the Owens clean, and it's just like Trish seemed like she was out. That seemed like they wouldn't get back to King's Court, which I remember when that came out with Morgan made like his third return back. Remember that? He had the jacket, it was all hot. It was summertime wearing that pink, that jacket. That King's Court segment seemed like it was like 30 minutes long. So he doing these rights. And up against SmackDown, like I said, I mean, Kofi, you know, Kofi's doing well, as I know. But you just got to see, like I said, from what I got, EB isn't doing anything creative yet. But Heyman, on the other hand, you know, Heyman's been having influence on Raw.
Let's see. I'm trying to look up some stuff because there's.
I know it's a lot of shaking stuff, but going on.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up. As far as his role, let's see. So. 83 weeks. He was on 83 weeks and said his start date was never supposed to be before July 22nd. So this was on 83 weeks. And he said also said that he's going to be present for this week's episode of SmackDown. So, as of last week, he had some type of hand. His last week was the 23rd. So this was this is supposed to be his second week to have some type of presence on the show. Now, of course, he's not, you know, from what I've heard, I'm not sure. But for what I've heard, he doesn't have like a huge presence. But as of last week, this is his second SmackDown that he's having some influence. So we'll see. I mean, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, I don't know if it was an Eric Bischoff written script. I don't want to make assumptions and say that it was. But if this is the second week of Eric Bischoff influencing, and Vince McMahon is, you know, calling audible and throwing, you know, calling a mercy meeting and vetoing. Whoever wrote the show is pretty upset about it. And so if Eric Bischoff is filling his role as the executive director now, I'm sure that would be upsetting. I'm not sure how much power he has right now. I don't want to assume, but whoever it was, I'm sure is frustrated that Vince McMahon called an emergency meeting to do that. So, very interesting stuff, and we'll see if this causes any rift between, you know, management. I know that there was some issues with him and Road Dogg. You know, as far as the writing is concerned, and he would get frustrated and stuff. And so, this isn't the first time that someone has potentially gotten frustrated over an 11th hour. You know, Vince McMahon decisions. And so at the end of the day, he has ultimate veto power. That's you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Vince McMahon has ultimate veto power. And yeah. Next, we have Rhino. He debuted, you know, it looks like he's going to be feuding with Michael Elgin. Signed a multi-year contract with Impact Wrestling. He actually had a interview with Sporting News, and he was talking about how like he had like double the downside for his new WWE deal. Malvin said he gives it 6 months, so that would be quite interesting. And thanks for the support, Allie. 6 months? Yikes. Bischoff, you know, made the move, and, you know, he's making this a big deal for him. And so we'll see, man. I mean, we'll see how I would hope that it takes more, that it's more time than that, because Eric Bischoff is such a good hand, such a good mind to the business. You know, I've had Eric Bischoff on the show two or three times. And you know, I appreciate him devoting his time to me and my show. We've talked off air, and just a nice guy. And I'm pulling for him. I hope, you know, I hope that he has the mind to really shake up. Ryan Ward and Road Dogg, I think they were doing pretty good. I've always think SmackDown's been a pretty for a while. Think for the most part, Raw has done. I mean, SmackDown has been a more solid show than Raw has. SmackDown's been a more solid show than Raw. So you know, I hope that it continues with Eric Bischoff at the helm. So no one knows what Nature Boy debuted in WWE against Ahmed Johnson. No one knows that. We're gonna be stuck on this this question for 3 weeks. So Rhino, he interviewed with Sporting News, and like I said, he's had interviews before, and he was talking. I think it was Chris Van Vliet. By the way, big shout out to him. He actually landed a job he just announced like a day or two ago that he is going to be working for AEW now. Come, you know, their television and stuff. So that's really cool, man. He's been grinding with the interviews. And he's interviewed some big names, and so that's really cool. And he's actually from Ohio. Yeah, I think he moved to Florida from Ohio. So an Ohioan, so definitely give him props for representing the OH10. And hard work really pays off. I agree, Kimbo. Absolutely. Ashton, no. Hulk Hogan's never been a Nature Boy. This Nature Boy debuted in WWE at 1995 In Your House against Ahmed Johnson. Yep, Ohio to Canada to South Beach. Yep. Rick was in WCW '95. Rhino said that he's going to retire in 8 years. He plans on retiring in 8 years. So. He said, let's see, I'll quote it here. We're PG, Ashton. So, to keep that in mind. And all of the chat, actually. What's up, Sports Huddle?
Come
back to have you back, man. You guys are saying Lex Luger, Shane Douglas, those are not Nature Boys.
Actually, it's Lex Luger.
Sports
but,
Huddle, were you there live?
No. Yeah, I think he was, yeah. Lex Luger actually was a typo, and I have the old NWA, 1988, 11x17 booklet. It was actually promoting on a big wrestling book, and it actually botched Luger's name, and it actually says Lex Luger instead of Lex Luger, so I thought it was funny.
Luger.
He said he was a...
Any dark stuff, Sports Huddle? PL, there you go. Thank you, sir. Buddy Landell.
Great lady,
well,
buddy.
Got somebody got
buddy
it right.
Landell. The greatest
Buddy Landell.
Elbow.
Yes. A very fine looking
go
course
back,
through elbow, if I may say.
Yes,
absolutely.
Go big, guys.
Very fine.
Watch them WCW the weekly shows, the NWA Worldwide, the WCW,
the Saturday
in
night.
The studios, watch them.
Yeah.
Saturday night, watch them. Him and my man Bill Dundee, Sir William. Quote school.
Okay, Bayley defeated Charlotte for the Women's Championship was the dark match. Okay, cool. Thanks for reporting that, Sports Huddle. You get an exclusive here at the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Good stuff. Next trivia question. Heavy Machine or beat a B team before SmackDown went live. Okay, cool. Who was the special guest referee of the Vince vs. Shane match at WrestleMania 17? He said, I would like to try for 8 years. That's my goal. Hit 32 years in pro wrestling. I was watching a thing on former NASCAR driver Richard Petty, and he drove for 32 years along with Winding It Up. I like to get more involved in my community. I own a marina in Monroe, Michigan called Big Daddy's Boatyard and want to work on that. I don't know about becoming a wrestling coach, but I think you owe it to, yep, good job, Mo and GHP. Foley. I see some friendly competition in there. But I think you owe it to the wrestling business to do autograph signings for the fans or help build another talent by making more of a behind-the-scenes approach. These major pro wrestling companies need to help bring guys in to help develop the future behind the scenes. Hopefully my career ends 8 years from now so I can help the younger generation, because I don't want to abandon the business like that whatsoever. Interesting quote. Rhino's, I think he's like 42 now or something like that. 42, 43. That would make him 50 when he ends, when he retires. 43. Yeah, 43. He'll be 44 this year. So he wants to retire when he's 51. So,
very interesting. Yeah. Because I interviewed him and talked to him before a few times at different shows. Nice guy, very polite, very positive. Dude is huge. His chest muscles alone is about probably your own size.
Yes. I've talked to him at the ROH event. He is a short guy.
Short, but
a shorter guy. I'm 6'1", though.
Like
so. Yeah, but he is, man, his legs are like tree trunks, though.
Tree trunks, yeah.
Yeah.
If you keep it score, still 21, Roman Reigns 0. Oh, this one was horrible. Oh, man.
That was bad.
The camera angles.
That was bad, yep.
Sister Rikishi did it for The Rock.
I did it for The Rock. Yeah.
And then
Roman Reigns kind of backs up like, wait a minute, what was that?
I haven't seen bad camera like that since the halftime heat when The Rock, end quote, you know, got pinned by the forklift.
Yes.
Very
interesting stuff.
Whatever that is. Wrestling mystery. So who pushed the crates on Roman? Who drove the white Hummer? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that camera shot was terrible, Kimbo says. I agree. Yeah, GTV.
Yeah. GTV. Who was the Black Scorpion? Actually, who was the first two Black Scorpions that attacked Steam and didn't take the mask off? And who was the other
Al Perez was one of them.
Hogan? Yeah, that's right. Al Perez was one. I think Arnie was one. Wyndham.
Wyndham
was one.
Mm-hmm.
This time was Al Perez again when the black guys attacked the ski masters attacked Hogan before it was revealed it was a Brood Eye. And then they did the same storyline with remember that Savage and Hogan with the Renegade?
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep.
Still more.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what is your Raw and SmackDown grades? Let me know what you got. What's your Raw and SmackDown grades? Next trivia question. And again, sorry guys, man. Sorry I'm not as vibrant as I usually am. I feel very loopy and my these meds are like causing a little drowsiness, and so I feel like loopy, and so I'm trying to push through it for you guys for the PNP Nation. So again, I appreciate it. I'd rather feel loopy with the bad back, with less back pain than non-loopy with insane levels of back pain that's causing me dizziness and headaches. So.
We got you.
Yeah.
We got you,
so
man.
I appreciate it, guys. JSP Raw C minus SmackDown B. Thanks, P. I appreciate the support. Ashton Raw 10 out of 10, SmackDown 1 out of 10. Okay, wow. Interesting. Gabriel's excited for Sami Callihan versus Tessa Blanchard. Kimbo's asking, ask Chris, what keeps you motivated during down or stressful times? Very simple answer, Jesus. Very simple answer there.
Jesus.
Well, let's see. Mo is Raw C, SmackDown B. Raw B plus SmackDown B for Sports Huddle. Gabriel C minus for both of them.
The most said God. The real question is, let's grade Seth Rollins getting his tail beat and that blood coming out of his mouth, which was real, by the way.
Yeah, so I heard there was some backstage stuff about that. Yeah, I heard there was some backstage stuff about that. Ashton's asking, can I do a live Q&A? I usually do. First of all, Ashton, welcome to the show. New PNP Nation chat member. I do a lot of live Q&As. I've done a lot of Q&As. Let's see the ones I've done recently. I know I did one with PCO, Shane Taylor. Nick Patrick was live a couple of weeks ago. PCO, Rocket
Khan.
Rocket
Khan.
Yeah. Allison K was live Q&A. Black Bart was live Q&A.
Black Bart.
Lance Archer was live Q&A. Kenneth Johnson from 205 Live. Ezekiel Jackson was live. Daniel Puder was live. Sean Stasiak was live. These are all like previous episodes going back from a couple weeks and backwards. Chris Masters was live. Ken Anderson, Adam Rose, Sean Devari. So, yeah, I usually have.
Hey, another great note. Ali finally came out to Ali. He finally decided to step in the ring. So we're going to give Ali some praise.
Yeah.
Give Ali some. I don't get those segments.
I don't get the hype, man. I'm sorry. I don't get the hype with Ali.
First of all, what is he? You're standing in alleyways, being a creep, sitting on park benches at bus stops, looking around, playing some random.
Yeah.
What are you? Like,
but he still comes out to the Scorpion and Sub-Zero like he's doing all that with kind of like a character change. They comes right back to the same character. So it's like,
But what is the point? Him and the Andy remind me of the old Cactus Jack vignette from WCW when he Echo had amnesia. Remember that? He was walking around and trying to find his stuff. What is Ali? What is Seth Rollins? There's so many people like, what are you? We should do a segment.
And, right.
I know Mike's listening. What are you? Seth Rollins, Ali, Cedric Alexander, Apollo Crews. Help me out, check. Wrestlers, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it, man. Like I said, I've never been too big on Ali. I mean, I think that he'd do really good in NXT, like top NXT star. But, I don't see the hype in him, man, honestly. Good talent, but I don't know. It's just one of those people for me. I never saw the hype in him. True question. What event did Brock Lesnar win his first WWE championship? I'm sorry, Evan, what were you saying?
I was saying that we joke about this a lot. Me and you joke about this off air is, I think me and even GHP off air jokes and Lucky Express was Vince. He just has this thing. You cannot have two names. It's like the Bible days. You just know him by your surname. That's Vince. You know Alexander Rusev, Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
You know we
Antonio
can go down the line.
Cesaro.
Like, Antonio Cesaro. You're not going to get a push until you get this known by one name. Ali. It's when you hear the name Ali, you're going to think of the greatest of all time in boxing, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
So you're going to think about, you know, you're not going to think about the wrestler. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Maybe Steve Baltimore's up in the play there. You can come in and you feel better, man.
Huh?
I said, he said Baltimore's nothing to play with. He joked and said Ali is from Chi-Town because the gunshots got him mixed up.
Yeah.
He needs to come here to Baltimore. Said,
right.
Well, you know, got to get you to come, man.
Mm-hmm. Mo's got it right. SummerSlam 2002. Raw was decent. I'm interested to see if they're going to either A, write off the 24/7 championship, or B, have someone pin Maria while she's up in her stirrups
while she's pregnant
with her OB appointment. So that would be funny. I agree, Kimbo. What happened to Apollo versus Nakamura? I don't like what they're doing. You know, y'all know I'm a big Apollo Crews guy.
Yeah, it's a 3-win now, right?
Huh?
Yes, the 3-way, right? Isn't Nakamura, Ali, and it's a 3-way, isn't it? SmackDown. Nakamura,
no, it looks
Ali
like they're going to do, it looks like going to do, I mean, Apollo went over to NXT, lost to Kushida. I don't think that's going to be a permanent move, but I think that Apollo should be in NXT permanently and be, you know, a top contender for like either the North American Championship or the World Championship. I agree, Mo. Apollo deserves it more than Ali. I definitely agree with that. I don't know, man. As far as Raw is concerned, it seems like I hope they don't write off the 24/7 Championship because that's one of the biggest one of the best things going on Raw. A lot of times it is the best thing going on Raw. So if they don't do a Thursday thing, like if they don't do a thing where they have her lose it on Thursday, looks like they'll probably would write it off, and that would be absolutely terrible idea. Ricochet looks like, you know, obviously Ricochet. Interesting to see Renee Michelle return. She was a part of the Mae Young Classic. Now, Braun Strowman, I hope they're not turning him heel again. That would be awful. I hope Braun Strowman wasn't the guy who pushed the trust down. That would, first of all, I don't want to see Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman again. And second of all, you are sabotaging Braun Strowman's character if you keep switching him over from babyface to heel to babyface again. If you turn him heel, that would be awful. I don't understand what they're doing with SummerSlam. You don't have a spot for Drew McIntyre. You don't have a spot for The New Day. You don't have a spot for The Club. For Allison and Gallows. You kind of have a spot for Roman Reigns, depending on who. It might have been Daniel Bryan that did it. If right now they don't have a spot for Daniel Bryan unless Daniel Bryan was the person.
He'll be on a free show.
I don't. You know, they don't have spots for so many top names.
Right.
I don't know what the heck they're doing with Ziggler. I don't see them bringing back Michaels for this. Michaels would want to come back, and I certainly doubt that Michaels will want to put or is going to put Ziggler over. Ziggler is notorious for being, you know, quote, a good hand, and I don't see WWE. I mean, dude's almost 40 years old. I don't see WWE saying, okay, well, this is the time where we'll actually make Dolph Ziggler a top guy. What I see with Ziggler, which I think would be a pretty cool idea, which I would really advocate, would be if Ziggler did an open challenge at SummerSlam. Michaels, you know, you think it's going to be Michaels or whoever, and I think what you do is you have an open challenge and you have Goldberg music come out. Goldberg come out and absolutely squash Ziggler. And that would be a good way to kind of right the wrongs on his Saudi Arabia thing, which, again, you can't really blame Goldberg for it because he had a concussion within a couple minutes of the match. So it ended up being a disaster. Taker got his moment back with the, you know, with Extreme Rules. And, you know, I think Goldberg, you know, needs to get his moment back with, you know, with SummerSlam and being a, like a open challenge, except, you know, a recipient. Someone who accepts the open challenge comes in and just wipes the floor with Ziggler. That would be my preference. That would be a good way to, you know, redeem.
That's a good idea. Tammy's right. It is supposed to be Dolph against Miz. I mean, let me tell you about that. The Miz against Ziggler.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Dolph versus Miz, but they haven't really built that up, though. Like, well, it could, like, and we don't even know that for sure. Like the Miz TV thing, you know, and just they haven't really built that up. And especially they could have done it now. They could have. It's weird. GSP. Dolph needs this win. Honestly, I wouldn't mind HBK being a life coach to Dolph, get him an IC or US title, then maybe work his way up to a world title shot at least. Man, you know what, GSP, as good as that sounds, man, I think that Dolph Ziggler's pretty much at the point of no return at this point. I think that for being the time that he's been in the WWE, the start-stop push that the WWE give him, he's a really good talent. Very good talent, but the WWE just sees him. He said this in an interview before. The WWE just sees him as a good hand. Someone who thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. God bless you, too. Someone who someone who is good to be at the beginning, middle, or end of the match is what he said. Like, 1 week, 1 month, he'll to open up a match, another month he'll main event, he'll be in the middle. And he's been known in WWE as a good hand. And he said that's one of the worst places to be, is to be a good hand in the WWE. Because you'll never get to a point where you'll stay a top guy. And so that's really been his kind of like death spot, you know. And I don't see that changing. I don't see the WWE changing, you know, having a Dolph Ziggler be in that way. Sadly, because he's a great talent, but the point, you know, at this point, what they've done with Dolph Ziggler, I don't see him being finally get to the point where he's a top talent. And Shawn Michaels isn't going to put him over. I don't see that at all.
Can Shawn Michaels please get a wig on his head? We do not need a bald Michaels. It looks horrible. It's like a Q-tip. Stop.
He's going some. I've noticed he's going a little hair out. Which I'm happy.
Please, is something. Where? And Ziggler's great. Like Mike said, Ziggler's the best. I said before, one of the best selling wrestlers in the business. But like you said, when you say you're a good hand, get his utility, like in baseball. We're going to just use him. Now we need to. You'll get the job. Don't matter if you get it back. We'll just plug you in. Like in the National League, we're just going to add you for the double switch. When the pitcher, you know, we don't want the pitcher to hit. We're going to throw you up there to get one swing. Then we'll put you on back. It's like being in a temp agency and being a temp all your life. This is what Ziggler was at. He's such a good talent. But at least we know who Ziggler is. We know who Dolph Ziggler is.
That's true. That is true. All right, SmackDown. Yeah, so Raw, I give it a C minus. C plus for SmackDown. I didn't like Drew losing. I didn't like Finn losing.
Yep,
that was a bad idea. Why would you make Finn lose? The point of that is you want to make Bray Wyatt look as good as he can. Now, if he's beating someone, now he's going to most likely squash Finn. But if he's beating someone who just got beat by, you know, Dolph Ziggler, why would, like, how does that make you look stronger? That doesn't make any sense to me. You need to make Finn Balor look as strong as he can, so when he gets wiped up with Bray Wyatt, that would just be that would be a better idea to make Bray look stronger. So, bad idea.
I got a question for the show.
Yep.
If HBK, and I'm not making fun of ball people, just saying he looks bad ball. I mean, the Chiefs looks good ball, Triple H, Coach. If you could pick any hairstyle that Shawn Michaels' career to slap on his head as a wig, what would you do? I would pick the AWA Bushy blonde in 1987.
I'll do the DX, the Attitude Era, not the mullet that he had in the early 90s, like during the Rockers breakup, but the ponytails, you know, black back and long hair, Shawn Michaels. James P says Bray finishes Finn in under 3 minutes. Yeah, definitely, for sure. And that's why you got to make Finn look strong. And then you had Shinsuke lose to Ali, which I don't like.
Right.
Champions losing on you know, regular TV cleanly. That was a bad idea. I know they're going to do Ali and Shinsuke at WrestleMania at SummerSlam, which I don't mind. But having Shinsuke lose cleanly like that, I think that's a bad idea. Eli's asking Roman Reigns' new character, the stunt double. Well, that's a comment. I like the fact that they did have Kingston beat AJ Styles clean, because Kingston, I mean, needs to look strong as a champion. So I did like that.
I did like that.
And again, Orton needs to look strong as a heel, man. He needs to look strong as a heel. Kimball's asking, should Bray Wyatt just wrestle on pay per views? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
if you're having the Fiend mask, you don't want to overdo that, because that's kind of like a demon character. You don't overdo the Fiend. I like the random appearances and then wrestling on the pay-per-views. Absolutely. I think that was actually strengthen his character. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'll do C+ for SmackDown, C- for Raw. So, all right. Well,
yeah, I agree.
It's time, guys. Let's do this. It is Flavor of the Week. Let's go.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right. Let's do this. Okay, so now we have the finals. Let's see. Let me bring this up for y'all. The finals and the semifinals. All right, here we go. So there's the final four. Kane, Ivan Koloff, Jeff Hardy, and Eddie Guerrero. Let's start off with Kane and Uncle Ivan. Do you got Kane or Uncle Ivan? Kane or Uncle Ivan?
Ivan. Hey, Uncle Ivan. Good guy, by the way.
Uncle Ivan. Kane. Kane gets it. Jeff Hardy versus Eddie Guerrero. Jeff Hardy versus Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie.
Yep, got it. Eddie. Eddie, Eddie, Alrighty, alright. Good stuff, guys. Alright, so the finals is Kane versus Eddie Guerrero. Who is the greatest former one-time WWE champion? Kane
Eddie.
Or Eddie Guerrero?
I just spelled his name. How was it? ECW. EDPY.
Yeah, EDPY, yep. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, looks like we got a winner. And the winner is the greatest one-time WWE champion, Eddie Guerrero. That is awesome stuff, man. Good job, guys. Tweet at Chris Prolific, as you just saw right there. Time to land the plane. Really appreciate y'all hanging out with me tonight, despite my leaving the emergency room a few hours ago. And I had a lot of fun, man. This is great. This is a great way to end my night, man. I didn't want to miss this on the world, and so was able to get it done and have a lot of fun with it. Special thank you to Mike McGurk for part two and sharing that Shane McMahon story. Thanks for everyone who's praying for me as I get better. Really had a good time, guys. As we land the plane, I want to thank everybody for being a part of the show tonight. Episode 383 in the books. We have Evan Segprout. I am Chris Featherstone. Until next week, Twitter, we can rest and God bless. And always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.
Good night, everybody.